the Joshua 1-9 studios in downtown Bloomington, Illinois. Welcome to the Carter Cast. The star of the show is Jack Lewis Jewelers CEO John Carter, and I'm your host, Joshua Scholl. We've covered a lot of ground in a dozen episodes of the show, but one thing we haven't done yet is walk you through the whole process of buying an engagement ring. Where do you start? And then what do you do after that? And then what should you know next? After all, this show is primarily for people who have never bought an engagement ring before, so how would you know until someone helps you out? That's what we're here for, to be the resource that helps you navigate this once-in-a-lifetime process of buying an engagement ring. You need a step-by-step explainer, a start-to-finish tutorial. Gotta learn sometime. The time is now. Let's go! This is the Carter Cast, the pre-proposal show for dating couples designed to make engagement ring shopping easy, understandable, and fun. You can get the four C's anywhere, but only here. Can you get the fifth C? Carter. I'm Josh, and this is CGA GG, former president of the American Gem Society, and Jack Lewis Jewelers CEO, John Carter.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back into the Carter Cast studio from high atop the Illinois House Building in downtown Bloomington, Illinois.
Beautiful downtown Bloomington.
Original 1927 home of Jack Lewis Jewelers.
Yeah, this is where where it all began.
I don't know if we've ever talked about that before. Almost 100 years ago now.
Yeah, coming up. Almost.
This is where it all started. There is, legendarily, the original safe in the basement.
That is true.
Of this very building.
As a young John Carter has been in the basement of this building many times.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you expect to be inside a jewelry store safe from the 30s and 40s?
Well, I helped clean that safe out, so... if there's anything in there now, it's not because we left it.
Secrets.
It would be
treasure.
It would be even less interesting if we did an entire episode of that. It would be less interesting than Geraldo opening a safe.
For those of you who
might need to Google that, young 40, people,
Geraldo was a
it looks like Geraldo, but it's pronounced Geraldo.
No lost crown jewels of Ireland in there.
No,
that'd be pretty great.
We
could do like an Indiana Jones. We should do an Indiana Jones episode of this where like you're looking for lost gemstone treasure.
Right. That would be very interesting.
Get for you a that. Hat and a whip.
Yes. It would be. I do look good in hats. I'm not going to lie. Maybe next episode it could just be about, we just try on different hats.
It could be. Yeah. But today is a how-to episode.
Oh, good. I thought we were going to talk about the safe all day.
We're not. That's what you call small talk, opening banter to lighten the mood. So, Carter, outside of the jewelry world, because we'll get there in a minute, what topic, skill, process do you know so well that you could explain how to do it start to finish in a way that an interested novice would find helpful? If you're making a non-jewelry how-to video, what would it be about?
Oh, this is good. Logging into my Instagram, I'm pretty good at that. Is that?
Are you? Well, you do it so regularly.
Well, I mean, I don't log in regularly. I do forget passwords. I'm not gonna lie.
Constantly forgetting passwords.
Constantly. What am I? What could I tell somebody how to do?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. How to video? What's it about that you're making?
Oh my gosh, I don't know that I know anything that well. To be honest with you. I have to think about that. This is one of those times where I wish I read questions ahead of time, but I don't. Never do.
How about how to get through an airport?
Which airport? There, I could navigate you actually through.
You know,
want
to
go O'Hare? Want to go Atlanta?
Yeah.
LaGuardia. Yeah. I'm pretty good with all those airports. Oh, I'll tell you how to navigate to a Bears game. Because getting to a Bears game, as you may or may not know, is not easy.
No,
because
I wouldn't expect.
The stadium is on the lake. There is almost no parking. And so if you don't have a parking pass near Soldier Field, you do have to park approximately 1 mile away. Mm-hmm. This is my secret spot. That's a really good spot. That's a parking garage a mile away from the stadium. So I could get there backwards. Possibly with my eyes closed. I've done that so many times. And then you leave the game and I'm generally very sad because I'm a Bears fan. And it's usually a long, lonely walk back to the car.
Rinse and repeat. That's how it happens.
I could do that. Other than that, we joke, but I'm actually fairly handy. Now, I haven't done much of this anymore in our new house. And honestly, just so busy at the store that I haven't had to. Mm-hmm. but I can do electrical work. I've done woodworking. Yes, true. I can't like build a house by any means, but minor projects. I have a fairly impressive workshop in my house.
I didn't know this about you.
Yeah, yeah. Right now it's mostly storage, so I haven't used it much these days. But in terms of handy things, I can do some things.
Wow.
You know, and generally I'm also smart enough to bring somebody along for the project that knows much more about it than I do. So
that's
just like,
the key.
Just like these conversations.
That is the key. That's right. Well, okay, well, I thought you were going to say the one thing you could do is how to co-host a show. You could do that very, very well.
Yeah. Well, I can talk.
You can talk.
I can talk and answer questions.
Okay.
When I don't know them.
Mugs. we have mugs.
Yo. Oh, yeah.
The mugs today are alma mater mugs.
Repping our schools.
Indeed. Illinois Wesleyan University Titans for me.
Illinois State Redbirds.
That's right. You are a Redbird. So, you know. All right. Let's get into this.
Okay.
Let's actually do what we came here for.
Okay.
About time. We've done dozens of episodes of the show, covered a lot of ground, talked about a lot of different things. We've done the four C's. We've done non-diamond gems to put in and not put in a ring. Grading reports, buying diamonds online, lab-grown diamonds, engagement ring metals, did some Google autofill Q&As, did a whole episode on whether diamonds are purely marketing hype.
That might have been my favorite episode.
It was very fun.
Yep.
What we haven't covered yet, though, is the process, start to finish, of buying an engagement ring from a local jewelry store.
Right.
How does that work? So lots of prospective proposers out there might feel like it's time to propose. But the whole diamond engagement ring process can seem a little intimidating. How in the world do you buy a diamond engagement ring? Where do you even start? There's the style and the ring finger size and will they like it and how much does it cost and how long will it take? And there can be a lot of different things if you've never done this before, which I'm assuming most people doing this have not done this before.
Correct.
But yet the reason you're doing it is probably because you're in love. And so what we want to do today is try to simplify that process so that you can keep the reasons why you're proposing at the forefront and not get frustrated by that process. So basically, how do you get from that realization and conviction of, I want to marry this person, to opening a box while you're down in one knee, right? What's that journey? So this is the definitive how-to guide for dating couples when they've decided it's time to propose. How to buy an engagement ring, start to finish. Mm-hmm. And who better to walk us step by step through that than a man who has literally helped hundreds of thousands of couples over his long, long career in the jewelry business, Mr. John Carter. So, Carter, before we dive in, what are your overall, I guess, big picture thoughts and reactions to this topic?
Well, first of all, I'm not that old.
let's start there.
I mean, I am pushing 50. But I have been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I did start when I was about 15.
Right.
And when I started at Jack Lewis, I was hired to do the mail and take out the trash. But that first day, that took about 11 minutes. And somebody handed me some keys and said, go learn the inventory, kid. And I did. And I fell in love with it. And the first thing that jumps out to me as you're describing that is, and the one thing that I've seen often over the years is, you know, when you go to buy a car or you go to buy any significant purchase in your life, an appliance, a home, mm-hmm. You do a lot of internet research, right? Nowadays, that's what we do. And you gather facts and you gather information and you want to make a wise purchase. And it becomes very transactional for most of those things. Sometimes it's fun, but for the most part, it's a transactional process. Buying an engagement ring should never be that, because of what you said in the very beginning. The reason why somebody walks through our door at the very core, regardless of what they're looking for or what they want to buy, what they just want to see or be educated about, at the very core of why they're there is because they're in love. Like, that's why they got in their car and drove across town or drove across the state or called us or looked us up. And so my team, and you and I marvel at it all the time, how great our team is and how kind they are and how knowledgeable they are and how patient and how funny some of them are, right? Some funnier than others. Yeah. Some just think they're funny. That's more common. But they're all good people, and they're mostly very sentimental about what it is that we do. And they understand that we're, you and I say, you know, we sell stuff, but we don't just sell stuff.
Right.
We sell things that have meaning and that they're family heirlooms, that things that people that are going to treasure forever. So at first blush, what I hear when you're describing the process is I want people to enjoy it, but most importantly, I want people to remember why it is that they're there. It all comes back to that, regardless of what you choose.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. Let's start at the beginning. So beforehand, where does this process start? Let's say all I know is that I love someone and I want to marry them.
Yeah.
And let's say I'm the one who will be proposing.
Okay.
So at that point, what should the proposer do first? What types of things is it helpful to have thought about in advance? Before I just show up at the store, what would you suggest that I do or we do? Where would you say that?
I think it depends upon the person. Okay. Is probably the quick answer to that. But the complicated explanation would be if your personality is such that you have to do your own core research before you walk in the door, please do. I would. That's me. You know, I do that before I would make any kind of a purchase like that, particularly something like a piece of jewelry that's probably a blind item, a diamond in particular, if you're buying a loose diamond or, you know, one that's already set in a ring. Do internet research. Go to websites. Go to Google it and see what videos may come up. I mean, some of ours, you know, we're fortunate enough that some of the videos that we've done come up, and we've we have tens of thousands of views on some of these videos, and we get great questions and comments on our YouTube page about it from really all over the world.
Yeah,
which has been fun to see. Do that. There's a lot of information out there, but what you read on the internet is not always a fact. Your friend
back up.
Carter. The internet is not always facts. So you do have to take some of the information that you see on the internet with a grain of salt. And when you come in, we've done this for a long time and we do consider ourselves to be experts at it. So we may have some information that may either augment what you have, it may contradict some of the information that you have, because our number one goal, believe it or not, and you won't know this until you experience our store in particular, a great jewelry store that's there to build a relationship with you is not just interested in getting you to buy what it is they want you to buy. Mm-hmm. We're here to educate and to walk you through the process. So I would start with some base level education, but understand and be open to ideas and suggestions that the people that are more experienced about it than you are may tell you. Because like I said, I've done it every day of my life since I was 15. I probably know more about diamonds than somebody who has, you know, been researching it for a month or a year.
So on the research part, what should they be researching online first? So there's two categories of this. So again, we're not even to the store yet, right? I'm sitting at home and I'm like, man, I think I love this person. Well, I want to propose. Like, what do I do? So what things could I
you
research?
You think you love the person, Josh?
I know it. I know it in my heart.
Let's start there.
I
want to spend the rest of my life with this person.
So, I mean, we probably don't have to spend too much time talking about that, but that would be like really, really step one is
that's make first sure level. You. That's first level. Let's be sure.
Okay. So I would say there may be two categories of thing you could research. There's maybe all the ring stuff,
right?
Like details, which we can talk about a little bit.
Yep.
And then there's them, right? Like researching the person you're going to, to propose to, maybe what they like. And so I guess that was part of like one of my questions was how important is it that I know what they like first, like before, like I'm getting started in this whole process.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea. That's a great point. And so sometimes the process just starts with the couple being at dinner and they say, I think we should consider this. Like I kind of want to spend the rest of my life with you. I kind of want to spend the rest of my life with you. And so then the couples will come in together, and that happens really more times than not, believe it or not. I would say 80 to 90% of the time they'll have shopped together someplace, sometimes at our store, sometimes someplace else. Sometimes they're just looking online.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's good enough for some couples to just say, here's an idea of what it is that I would like. And whoever the proposer is comes in and has those things on their phone. And we look up styles and design and things like that. So sometimes the journey can begin together.
Yeah.
Certainly the research part of it can begin together. That's great. And I recommend you know, if you have a fun store in your community, hopefully it's, if you're in ours and it's us, go into that store, have a glass of wine or a whiskey or something like that, and let that store educate you on what it is. Because you might not know, believe it or not, what it is that you want in your engagement ring until you see it on their finger.
Right.
That's
well, and that's
like trying on a sport coat. I didn't know I liked this one until I put it on and it fit.
Right. Well, and that's part where, again, you mentioned a couple of times you've done this since you were 15. Mm-hmm. I think that's where your experience, I'm interested in tapping into that, because you've got, I would imagine that most people, they, especially these days, they have what, a list, they have a Pinterest board, they have things that they think they like.
Instagram.
Yeah, all of that, right? And so they might have an idea of it, mm-hmm. but I guess how many times have you seen someone come in, start looking, and get completely knocked off course with something else, you know, because once you get in there and see it, then you have a new perspective on it? Or do they tend to stick pretty much to, this is what I want?
Yeah, it depends who's getting it, I think, ultimately. But many, it goes one of those two ways, right? Mm-hmm. They do come in, almost everybody comes in with very specific, something specific on their phone. This mm-hmm. is what they saw, this is what they like. But I could just kind of be in this ballpark, or this is absolutely what I have to have. It has to be a 1-carat oval surrounded by diamonds with pave set diamonds down the sides. Cool, right. Let's do that. That yeah. that makes our job very specific.
Sure.
But there's...
When that happens, do you try to...
There's still 100 different ways to do that.
Well, sure. Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, we'll just show some examples and then see how we can get closest to whatever that sample was that's on their phone. But sometimes then that's taking, as I always tell the person buying the ring, your opinion is not unimportant. You're going to see it second most.
True.
So,
yeah.
So, and you're buying it generally. So, right. You should weigh in. It doesn't mean that your opinion trumps who's going to wear it, but mm-hmm, right. definitely everybody's opinion matters. And most importantly, while that seems like it could get overwhelming, you want to, at some point in the conversation, you reset, you check back into why you walked into the door, and yeah. you want to make it fun again, because it drives me crazy when people drive themselves crazy. It should be a fun process. It should be... I'm here for the right reasons. This is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. Diamonds are beautiful. Diamonds are not just stuff, right? But at the end of the day, that's not what's important.
Yeah.
What's important is why you're, as you and I've said so many times, it's important why you're giving it.
You mentioned driving yourselves crazy. So but before we move on from the research part, because again, like you said, you know that happens so much. Yep. So we just talked a little bit about researching your significant other, like your potential fiance a little bit. What sort of research, I guess specifically, would you recommend someone do on the diamond, on the ring, before they come in? Like, how much is too much research?
I don't remember if I've told this in a previous CarterCast episode, so apologize.
Most people probably haven't seen it.
What? Why?
Josh, binge-watching our episodes?
Some of these have hundreds of views.
Literally. It's great.
Of thousands. Years ago, this must be 10 or 15 years ago, I had a young man come in, and he was from a different part of the state. He had traveled 2.5 hours. And I didn't know him. He wasn't referred by anybody, just found our store, right? And he came in, and we were going through ideal cut diamonds, which, you know, is mm-hmm. what I love to talk about in particular. Mm-hmm. And we were going through the process, and he was having a beer, and we were having a nice conversation. He and I were around the same age, and he just was not having fun. And he had this folder of information and just everything, every diamond he had ever seen. And, mm-hmm. and I got to asking him, I said, you know, what's going on? You know, what you're not, you should enjoy this. This is an exciting time in your life. And he said, man, I've been to 15 different jewelry stores, and this person tells me this, and this person tells me this. And I just was like, I didn't even know there were 15 different jewelry stores between like where he drove to get to me. And I said, and it was just going through, and this person says this, and this person says this, and you say this. And I said, can I, you know, this guy over the years became a pretty good friend of mine. I said, can I just give you some advice? And he said, yeah. I said, you have to stop. You have to stop going to stores. You have to stop looking everything up and micro analyzing everything. I said, I've done this at that point, 15 years less than I've done it now, right? I said, I buy diamonds all the time, and they always look different in person than they do on paper. I'll go to buy one for somebody, and I'll have a description of it. And when I get it, I'm like, not so much, you know? And so you do at some point just have to look at the diamond and experience the diamond and trust that the person on the other side of the counter does know more than you do. Hopefully they're a good person and they have also your best interests in mind. But too much research, you'll know when you get there when it becomes not enjoyable. And if you're making it transactional instead of about the purpose, that to me is where you'll know. Having said that, I think it's a great idea to come in with a base level knowledge of color, clarity, cut, and carat weight. We'll walk you through those things too. And we may say, great, you have a good understanding of this. Let me give you the Jack Lewis version of why these things are important or where you should spend your money, as we talked about in the color and clarity one. Where can you spend money? But most importantly, where should you save money? Mm-hmm. Those conversations can be really instrumental in helping you make sure you make a wise decision, because that's why somebody over-researches. They don't want to make a poor decision.
Right.
We get that. We're not going to let you do that. We're going to walk you through it and give you honest assessments. And then sometimes just seeing a diamond in different light and understanding how it interacts is a really important part.
Have you had people come in who think they know it all?
Yeah.
Does that typically help or hinder the process? How does that typically go? You have a lot to unlearn with them or reinterpret for them?
Well, as you know about me, Josh, I am a people person.
I mean, yes, that's not funny.
It's
yes.
I am beloved by all who meet me.
And even those who have not.
Even those very charming on the internet as well, obviously. That's why you're watching.
Uh-huh, correct.
Hit subscribe. Yes. So people that walk in that think that they know a lot about it. And they may have a really good base level knowledge. Sometimes that's just that person's personality. And so for me, I'm not judging. I'm not irritated by that person. I'm never offended. Like, oh, I've been doing this for so long and somebody thinks they know more than me. That's cool. That's probably a very smart person that makes very wise choices in their life. And it also, you know, might be part of their profession. They could be an actuary or an engineer, or, you know, they could just be very analytically driven. And I've learned a lot from those people. That client that I mentioned earlier was an engineer.
Yeah.
And this is why he was so analytical about it. Sure. And, you know, when you can put things into a perspective for somebody whose mind works that way and let them know, I do know more about this than you do, it does put them at ease. And it actually gives them a little bit of relief. Yeah. Like, okay, cool. I can trust this person.
Right.
They'll help me make a smart decision. So that does happen. But that's my job to say, listen, this is why what you think is not technically correct. And this is why it should be looked at this way. And they say, no, nope, don't care. Still want this. Cool. You're the one buying it. I just am going to be remiss if I don't say this to you this way. So we're not put off by that. It's our job to help them regardless if they come in with, because the other thing is people will think, oh, I can't walk in there. I don't know anything.
Right.
That's okay too. Well, you know, just understand that we all come at this process with different levels of experience. And I think my team is really good about doing that. I think any store, you know, if you're watching this and from 15 different states away and you have some good local stores in your area, that's what your good local independent retail jeweler will do. They are there for the long haul. This initial relationship begins with you buying your engagement ring from them, but they want to see you for many years to come, not just for the business, but because of the relational aspect of it.
So. Right. Again, we're still on that front end thing. So I haven't walked in the store yet, right? This is all stuff maybe that we're still just thinking about ahead of time. Is there a benefit to making an appointment first? Is that something that can benefit me as the customer? Besides just maybe showing up one time and walking in, like, how would you talk me through that if you're advising me on whether to do that or not?
Man, if you had asked me this question in 2019, I would have said, no, you never need appointments. But but COVID literally changed how we do things. And so it is, we came out, you remember, because you helped me redo the website. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was very instrumental, I think, in our new website, which is great, by the way, mm-hmm. kudos to your team. which is great because it is appointment driven. You can make an appointment on just about any part of our website. And that's really, that's how people's brains work now, right? They think, oh, I can't just get in my car and go someplace. Some people, right? And so we do take appointments that way. It is absolutely not necessary. If you feel better knowing I have to, and again, back to people's personalities, some people just know if they're going to show up at 10 o'clock,
right.
Scott on my team is there to be ready to assist them. That's great too. And some people just want to know who it is that they're going to be working with too. And sometimes because of this show, people will book appointments with me to come in and look at engage rings. I love that.
Sure.
That's my roots.
Yeah.
So you can do that, or you can just walk in. We have a robust staff that's there to help you. Not physically robust. It's just just many people who are good at what, and emotionally robust and complex.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier about, so again, I'm still trying to think about all the things I need to think about ahead of time, right? So we talked about research. We talked about researching too much or like with the diamond stuff and then researching the person. We talked about whether or not, you know, you want to make an appointment or how I plan that kind of thing out. You mentioned earlier about the idea of coming in together or coming in on your own. So I think that'd be another thing that you'd want to think about up front is, all right, how am I going to do this? Like, do I, as the proposer, go in by myself first?
Yeah.
Then maybe, you know, get the lay of the land. Then maybe, you know, a week or two later, I come back with my significant other. Do you just right out of the gate, just come in both together first? What would go into making that decision? Is it kind of, I guess it's the element of surprise, right? Like if you want the gift to be a surprise or don't you? Is that kind of how you would maybe think about whether to go in together?
Again, it depends upon their relationship.
Yeah.
I've had that go all ways. I've had it go where they come, usually, if you want to know the majority of the time how it works, they do come in as a couple.
Okay.
And I think it's okay to just say, these are the five rings that I love. I would be happy with any of them. Hmm. And then you leave the proposer with the element of some surprise. Don't know which one it's going to be. Don't know what day you're going to get it.
Yeah.
Sometimes if we have to have something custom made or special ordered, it takes a little bit of time. So we don't know how long that'll be. But that initial visit, I think most people buying an engagement ring, their number one fear is they don't want to buy a design that the other person hates. It's not the center stone, even though that's probably, you know, financially, that's the most important part because that's really what sets the tone for the price.
Yeah.
It's the design that generally is what they need to get on the same page about. You know, if somebody doesn't love a marquee diamond surrounded in baguettes and that's what you got them, then that's what their big fear is. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it's definitely what people worry about. So getting on the same page and knowing, hey, I want channel set round diamonds down the side with an oval center or a round diamond in the center. That's exactly what that conversation is for. And it also allows us, when you're both in the store, to get the finger size to know what metal you like. The finger size really can be the sneaky thing that's hard to get. Oh, yeah, the ring size coasters.
So we'll get the ring size coasters from way back.
We used to do those. We used to put those around around town. That's a blast from the past. Thanks for putting that out. This was a great idea, and a lot of times people would like bring this in from the bar or restaurant that they saw it at, and they would say, she's a 5.5.
Right.
You know? Right. And so we would just go from there. That was fun.
But like that is the tension, right? Is that on one hand, you said the biggest fear is I don't want to get them something they won't like. But on the other hand, going engagement ring shopping could be something that's kind of awkward to talk about.
Mm.
Like, because I would almost think it's easier to talk about the big picture. Oh, I want to spend my life with you. We're going to be together forever. But then when you get to the, okay, so now let's go to a store and shop for a ring. Like, to me, that just seems like this is getting real now. Like, this is really real. And that could be awkward for some couples. But again, you also don't want to get something they won't like. So it's that tension of like, what do I do? And it might just be, again, who are you? Like, what's your personality? What do they like? That kind of thing.
Like, my favorite way that people do it is when they make it a date night.
Oh, fun.
You know, and maybe it's sentimental, married John Carter with kids, where I just, I really value these date nights with my wife where we could just sneak away for 3 hours or wherever. And, you know, in my store is a good example. And my friends that have different stores around the country would be very similar depending upon where they are. But you can just, it's very casual at a jewelry store. You know, these perceptions that I'm going to walk in there and they're just going to beat me on the head and want me to pay thousands of dollars and I'm not ready to do it yet. That's not really the environment that we're in now. The stores that were really operated that way, I think a lot of them have moved on to different industries or really don't do what we do. It is, I use the term so much and it maybe sounds trite, but it's all relationship building. And so we want you to come in and have a glass of wine together while you look at engagement rings, or maybe you're already married. Maybe it's diamond studs or a fine watch or something like that. Like, that's what we want you to do. We want, when our store becomes a stop on your date night, whether you're engaged or married, that is a successful jewelry store. And that is, and the reason it's a successful jewelry store is not financially. That is a beacon in your community, which, as you know, is my goal. So do that research. I know that went down a road you weren't expecting me to go down, but that is, do that process. It shouldn't be an awkward conversation. Let's go to the jewelry store. It should be fun. Again, make it part of your date night. Stop at my store, stop at my friend's stores, whatever that is. Have something to drink and then go to dinner and talk about what it is that you saw. I promise when you do it that way, when you, not just the experience of going to the store, but then when you follow it up with having a meal together and maybe another drink, it will be solidified between the two of you what the right purchase will be.
Yeah.
And that it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. It's supposed to be fun and meaningful.
Not just engagement rings. This applies to any jewelry purchase, really, honestly, to do it that way. It's just a fun way to do it. I have my friends do it now too. Like, the married couples have been married 10, 15, 20 years. They just come in, they look at diamond studs, or they look at a watch for him. It's just a—
try stuff on.
Try stuff on.
Right.
Yeah.
Take pictures.
Don't buy anything. It's fine. Yeah. It's just— just come in.
Okay, so let's come in. So what happens when I walk in the door? So I've done all the pre-stuff that we just spent time talking about. Now I'm at the door. I'm at the doorstep. What happens when
open the door. There's a handle.
Like an auto sliding
door. You'll notice it's got a thing on it.
Little handle, push, pull.
In our case, it's a pull.
Uh-huh. What happens when I or we walk in the door? You just referenced it earlier. Do I get ambushed by a greedy commissioned salesperson who's just— and you're looking to make me spend a whole bunch of money on something I don't need with an extended warranty? Like, what's going to happen?
And they're robust.
They're robust. Right. Seriously, though, like, knowing you will eventually need to talk with someone can be intimidating. So especially when you don't know anything about this. So what happens to me when I first walk in the door?
You won't be ambushed. You will be greeted.
There's a difference.
Fine line. My team, at least at Jack Lewis, is never pushy. The first words out of their mouth almost is always going to be, what brings you in today? Not, what are you looking for? How much do you want to spend? It's not, those are not the lines of questions that we use. Sometimes it's a watch battery. Sometimes they just want their ring cleaned. Sometimes it's to shop for engagement rings. Whatever that process, regardless of what they're there for, always begins with that conversation. What brings you to Jack Lewis today?
And then what should I say to that? So let's say, again, I'm just trying to think of all the possible— should I pretend like I'm just browsing? Oh no, I'm just looking. And then I just kind of like do away with the salesperson who approached me. And
that's okay.
And now I'm just going to look around and look at stuff on my own. Or do I just, be right and up straight and say, look, I'm here looking for engagement rings. I don't know where to start. Like, what typically happens? What's a good approach?
Again, it depends on the person's personality.
Yeah.
Some people, just looking doesn't mean they're just looking. It means leave me alone for 5 minutes because I want to get my own bearings. I want to walk around and see your store. If you say that, my staff will be great. What can I get you to drink while you're doing that? They'll get you a water. They'll make you a nice coffee. And we'll leave you alone. We will be on the sales floor when you need us. And so generally speaking, you'll probably, if you came in to look at engagement rings, you'll probably stop near the diamonds or the engagement rings. My staff will again probably ask if there's anything that they can show you. And if you want to see things, please. The inclination, I think, and we all go through this, I do it too when I go shopping for anything, is particularly when you got in your car and you knew you weren't going to spend money that day, right? And it's just looking, because you don't want to waste somebody's time.
Yeah.
You are never wasting our time at that store, because that's literally why we all got out of bed and why we got in our cars and we pulled on that front door, was to be there for whatever it is that brought you in. The engagement ring process very rarely for us concludes with one visit. It doesn't start and stop generally with one visit. Mm. Sometimes it does, but most of the time it's multiple visits. We get that. We get that it's research. We get that sometimes you're comparison shopping.
Yeah.
It's okay to say that. You're not going to offend us. We're used to that.
Yeah.
But if you want to browse, please browse, because again, some people just want to get their bearings and feel comfortable in the environment first. And if you just say, if you're a direct person, say, engagement rings, We're going to walk you right over and we're going to start talking about it.
So talking about it. So what is that conversation? Where does it go then? So what's the first part of that conversation you typically have? Do you start talking about the ring? Do you start with budget? Do you start with timeline? What are the first sorts of questions you and your team will start asking me once we start talking?
My personal question, and I think my team will ask some sort of variation there, will be, what have you seen?
Okay.
What is it that you've seen that you liked? Oh, I haven't seen anything. Great. Let me walk you through. We'll generally start with the rings and not the diamonds, especially if it's a couple together.
Okay.
We will discuss the center stones because, as you know, in our store, a lot of times we're selling. I think sometimes when people go into the process, they think they're just going to walk in a store and just see ready to go engagement rings. And while we have those with a diamond in the center, and you can just buy that, and it's
our Get Engaged Tonight get collection. Engaged.
Oh yeah, thanks for the plug. Get it. Hashtag. The Get Engaged Tonight collection. We have those, but also a lot of what we do is the diamond is loose. Here's the diamond. Here's a setting. Let's find a diamond and a setting that go together. Some people don't want to work that way. Some people do. That's why we have a cornucopia of selections, Josh. Yeah, you didn't think I was going to use that today.
I didn't expect that.
I Googled word. That. That's the right word.
a myriad, a plethora.
Many.
A veritable smorgasbord.
Several. and so that's why we have that is to walk you through that process. But we're generally going to start with the ring. Just to get an idea of what do we have the right style? We probably do because we have hundreds of rings. We at least have something to start. And then sometimes the process is like, well, I really like the shoulders of this ring, but I like the underside or the gallery of this ring. I like this ring, but I don't want an oval diamond. I want a round. So
white gold, yellow gold.
Yeah, exactly. All the conversations.
All that stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do we get to try the rings on?
Please.
Okay. How helpful do customers find that? Is that typically when you see the epiphany, aha moments, when they actually see it a lot of times?
How do you know you love it if you don't try it on?
Right.
You know, because you do have to see. That's one of the reasons I like showing loose diamonds, right?
Yeah.
Because as you know, as I've said, I'm a sentimental guy. But I also, when you can feel the diamond itself against your skin and you get to select it that way, I know that it sounds weird, but you do bond with it in a different way. It's strange, but you feel it. You feel how cold the diamond is. You feel, you see the shape of it and the texture of it on your finger. And it's a really good chance to admire the diamond in its natural beauty without it being covered in metal.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I prefer selling loose diamonds and then marrying it with a mounting. So the client can see it. So they can at least at some point in their life say that they held their diamond in their hands.
Huh. That is something I've learned over the years is that, and you mentioned it a minute ago, but that typical process is a two-part process. That's not something I knew when I was, you know, way back when I bought the engagement ring from you, in fact.
So many years ago.
So long, long, many, many years ago. Was that
you had hair? lots of it was glorious.
Low blow.
Yeah,
it was never glorious.
It was down to his shoulders.
It was. I had the first mullet. it's kind of a two-part process that you find your diamond center stone from a collection of loose diamonds, and then separately you go look at the collection of empty rings to see which one of those you like. So there's really two decisions that you ultimately have to make. You have to pick the diamond, and then you have to pick the ring. But also, increasingly, as you've said, there's also the ready-to-wear, get-engaged-tonight, done, like fully done rings. So how would you walk a customer through those two different ways of going about it? And how do I know which one I am? Like, how do I know if I'm a classic two-step process customer or if I'm an off-the-shelf, ready-to-wear customer?
By looking.
Okay.
Next question. No, just kidding. Yeah. By experiencing it. Yeah, truthfully. You asked me earlier how many times, you know, does somebody come in looking for one thing and then they completely shift gears? That's how you do it. I mean, how many times have we all done that with any purchase that we make, right? I mean, you went looking thinking you wanted this vehicle and you bought that vehicle because the one didn't drive the way that you thought it would. It's not different with engagement rings. You might, if you're just looking on Pinterest, Instagram, and TikTok, that ring can look very different on somebody else's finger.
Sure.
People have different shape and size fingers and different body types and things like that. So what ring that you thought you would fall in love with from the internet doesn't necessarily look great on you. Mm. That's when the process changes. Mm. And that's really what looking in person is all about. And to be honest, you can't do that on the internet. You have to go to a store. You have to experience that in person. And that's really the important role that your local retail jeweler serves. It's what we're here to do.
Anything else you typically see during the shopping, browsing, trying on stage that would be helpful to add that we haven't hit yet?
It's also where you can nail down the specifics of budget. The other reason I like to have people in the store, and as you know, again, so I've been doing this a long time, so a lot of my clients don't live here. A lot of them like lived here and then moved, or they're a referral from a friend. So when I sell them diamond studs or an engagement ring, sometimes I've not even met them. When I have the client in the store, it's a chance to say, as you know, because we've been through this in other episodes, there's a really subtle nuance, particularly in color of diamonds. You know, am I good with an I or a J color diamond, or is that too yellow for me? You really don't know that until you see it in person. You can read in theory what that's like, but people's eyes work differently. Somebody might be more offended by the yellow in that diamond than another person might be. And while it's a great way to save money, you really want to kind of push that envelope and see it in person to see how much that you can or can't do in terms of the color threshold. That's a good chance. That's one of the things that shakes out in that process. Like, okay, cool. I really know I want to be about in this color and clarity range and not below, or I'm good with being, you know, on the lower side of things.
So let's move into the budget, because we haven't, maybe conspicuously, we haven't talked about that really yet. So I'm guessing
means it's probably the least important part. And that's probably, it's easy for me to say because they're the ones walking through the door spending the money, but I've just done it, as you mentioned, hundreds of thousands of times. And it's really the part that changes the least, because everybody walks through that front door thinking, I have this much money to spend. Spend that money. I'm the worst salesman ever. Don't spend more. Spend what you can afford, right? I'm sounding like your parents. Spend what you can afford, because the glorious thing about diamonds, particularly natural diamonds, is you can spend whatever you do, or you can spend as much or as little as you want to spend. The thing that'll affect that is the quality of the center stone.
What if I don't know that, though? Like, what if I don't know what I can spend? What if I don't know how much I should? We've talked about the 3-month salary guideline before, right? Like, is it? Can you give us a point of reference, some kind of a baseline?
No,
because, you know, especially if I can finance it, maybe I can spend more than think I can. But I guess I'm just wondering, like, if a frame of reference would be helpful for somebody again who might be watching this, has no idea what are we even talking? Are we talking 500, 5,000, 15,000? Like, what are we even talking for something like this? Is there like a standard, like if it's 1 carat round in a basic kind of setting, like do you find that's been helpful for customers, like when you're at the counter with them, about what's even a ballpark for what this could be?
It's just important to remember about the 2-month salary. It's not 3 months, but I like that you added an extra month. What was important about
inflation?
It did come out in the 40s. So yeah, so now today it's a 6-month salary. The important thing to remember about that is 2-month salary was a marketing campaign, but it wasn't done as a scam. It was done because people were having threshold resistance and price sticker shock when they walked into a store to realize, oh, if I want to get a diamond of the size, in those days it was a third of a carat diamond, that was about 2-month salary at the time. You don't have to spend 2 months salary. 2 months salary by today's standards would be quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
Cool if you do. But it's not
cool for the recipient if you do.
Cool and me, you know, that's fine too. Yeah. But go into it. Everybody really knows. Like you mentioned financing. That's a great thing to bring up, because if you do finance it, just make sure that monthly payment doesn't exceed what you can afford to spend. Financing sounds great, right? And it can be a useful tool in helping you get the ring that you want. But you want to make sure that it doesn't push other things to the back burner. So get what you can afford. I mean, that is like the most essential thing that I can say. I think when people are young and they're just starting out, nobody gets the diamond for the person that they love the most in the world. Nobody gets them exactly what they want, because we can't necessarily, usually most of us can't afford it when we're younger. You have time. Life takes time. So yep. You have time down the road if you want to get them a bigger diamond to trade that diamond back in. As you know, stores like mine will take that diamond back. We generally give you full value on the center stone if you trade it in on a bigger stone. That's generally, you're doubling up the value of that.
Or build around the original.
Or build around the original. Or take that original, don't trade it in because it's probably very sentimental at that point.
Right.
Put it in a pendant and just get a bigger diamond for that. Redo the setting. There's always ways to do that. But my advice just as an old man now raising my own kids is, and we've all been down that path, is just do what you can afford. Don't overextend yourself for the ring and just make sure that it's comfortable. We can get you a beautiful ring for any budget that you walk in the store for. Okay. It's where we get pigeonholed is when they say, I have to have a 3-carat round natural diamond.
Yeah.
And it's gotta be in this and it's gotta be in this and I have $5,000 to spend. Well, that probably is not going to happen. But there's ways to help you do that.
So basics, just kind of tick through real quick. Again, just in the definitive how-to guide for how to buy an engagement ring, just so you know exactly what you're walking into. How do you pay? Credit card, cash, check? What do you guys see most? I assume it's credit card?
Credit cards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bitcoin? Probably not.
Not so much.
Insurance, warranties? Like is that all part of this thing too?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the warranty. So for the most part, people can pay however they right. pay, right?
Suitcase. full of euro.
We're in a very digital world, right? Almost everything is just done on cards. And we encourage you to do that. Get your airline miles. I mean, it's an engagement, right?
Like,
not a bag of flour. So you might as well use it and get your miles. financing, of course, as we've talked about, that's some people can use that. Mm-hmm. A lot of stores will have an extended warranty that they'll sell you that'll be based on a percentage of the price of the ring, right? So if you bought a $10,000 ring, you might pay another $500 to $800 for an extended warranty. It's important to understand the details of those warranties. Most of those warranties require that you come in 3 or 4 times a year, get it checked, get it signed off, and then you'll be covered.
Yeah.
If you miss, you probably aren't covered if something happens to your ring. We don't do that. We don't sell an extended warranty because I know the reality is that people don't come in and do that. Any side stone that might come out in the ring itself, that's covered for the duration of the ring. If something were to happen to it, if it got run over by a car or something like that, that probably needs to be rebuilt. That might not be covered. If your center stone falls out, let's say you lose your 1-carat center diamond, that's why you need insurance. If the ring gets lost, that's why you need insurance.
Yeah.
So make sure to add that to your homeowner's policy. There are companies that will just insure your personal articles. We can reference some of those for our clients when they ask. We'll provide you with the proper documentation. Some of those insurance companies will accept a receipt. Some of them require a more detailed appraisal, but you definitely want to do that if you're going to wear and enjoy diamonds.
And those are conversations you'll have with them at that part of the process once they're...
Yeah, we're not their insurance agent, but right. We can give a little bit of advice on it, yeah.
Real quick on the timeline as we move toward the end here. How long does this take? So I guess two how long does it take kind of questions here.
How long you got?
So let's start with that first time in the store. How long is that first visit going to be? Like, what should I set aside? Are we talking 20 minutes, 30, an hour? Don't say it depends on the person. What typically happens, I guess, in your experience?
It can take 5 minutes.
Okay.
Has taken 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I've
they just come in, know what they want, and it's...
Yeah. Nice. And it's literally because they want to hashtag get engaged tonight.
There you go.
And they know what it is. They know exactly how much they have to spend.
Yeah.
They have that with them. That's what they do. They pick a ring out of the case. Boom, 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 done. That's rare.
Yeah.
And most people don't work that way. Anywhere on average from 20 minutes to a couple of hours, because really? Some people on the other side of things are just going to be hyper analytical. Or, as I said before, we want you to enjoy the process.
Sure.
If you're just enjoying the process and want to hang out, it's not like we're going to ask to leave, And so right. we'll keep doing that. We're people, so we want to hang out and have a good time too. And so sometimes that process can take, I'd say on average, 45 minutes to an hour for the per visit. And sometimes, like we said, that's that initial visit and then they come back.
And then if you don't do the ready to wear option and you do the two-part process, how long does that take? Like for the diamond of the assembly to get set and then I come back and pick it up. Like what's typically the turnaround time on those kind of things?
If the ring is in store, mm-hmm. We can modify it in store about a week.
Okay.
Sometimes same day, just depends. If you have plans that night or you're leaving on a trip and you want to take it with you, if we can do it same day, we will.
Okay, well, because that was the heart of the question there is if I know what day I want to propose, say I've got a target day in mind, right?
Yeah.
Birthday, holiday, whatever it would be. How much earlier than that should I come into the store for the first time at the latest?
That's a great way to phrase it because if you don't know what you're doing as custom or not, start shopping at least 2 months early. Because if you come in and you pick out a setting that I have to order, it can take 3 to 6 weeks. If we have to go back and forth a little bit, you know, as you've seen, you know, we'll do CAD designs where we're emailing back and forth or we're texting you a 3D video where you can spin the ring and you can look at it. Sometimes that back and forth can take a little bit of time. So that can add a week or two to the process. If you don't know, start early. Best case scenario, we have what you need in store. And if you're not in a hurry, you don't need it for 2 months and we get it done in a week, great. Now you're just prepared and ready to go. And you have the ring in hand when you go to ask your significant other's parents for permission, if you're traditional and going to do that. Mm-hmm. And as I've always said, sometimes just having the ring in the box and setting it on the table and opening it for that conversation it says all the words you need it to say. Having done it, it's difficult to initiate that. But when you just open the box, in my case, my father-in-law knew exactly what I was trying to say. And it became a very nice conversation and he hugged me. And so it's nice to go into that conversation with ring in hand as well.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I wanted to close it was that packaging like aspect. Like you finally got it and you're kind of ready for that. So I've stood at the counter, I've bought the diamond ring. Once I do get it back in hand, what is the process that's open to me? Do you guys ship it? Do I come back to get it? Do you just call me when it's ready? Like, how does that typically work? What are the options there?
We'd prefer to have somebody come back to the store to pick it up. You know, we're all about, we want somebody to enjoy the experience in our store. It's not a luxury experience to ship things back and forth to people's houses. And we can do that and we can accommodate, certainly if you need an engagement ring shipped, if you're leaving on a trip or you're going to be someplace, we can do that. Especially if somebody, as we said, as you know, we draw from several hundred miles, our clients will drive to come to Jack Lewis. And if it can save somebody a trip, we're happy to do that. We'd always prefer to see them in the store because that way we can deliver it properly. We can, if the wearer comes in, we can tweak the sizing. If there's anything that needs to be done, sometimes that happens. But yeah, generally our preference is to do it in store.
Okay. I think that's mostly it. So I guess as we move toward the end here, how would you summarize what we've talked about? So step one is what? And then, so like overall summary, kind of before you get to the store, then while you're at the store, then kind of that after effect, like how would you summarize like what those steps are in the how to buy an engagement ring?
Step one, do a little bit of your own research. Do some internet research on color and clarity and carat weight, and most importantly, cut grade. That's the sort of stuff that you'll tweak us, pick our brains for, and we'll tweak those conversations for you. And then ring styles are very important. Do that research. Then come see us. Go see somebody. Do research, not just on what it is diamonds and on the diamonds and the color and clarity and what it is that your significant other wants. Do research on the stores you go to before you go there. Google reviews are really useful. More useful really than any other reviews, Facebook and Yelp and things like that, notwithstanding. Google will tell you a lot. Ask your friends and family. It always astounds me that people put more weight into Google reviews than they do in what their friends and family tell them. but sometimes that happens too. Ask people. And if they don't know somebody, then rely on that store's digital reputation and then go visit that store. Ask the right questions. Find a sales associate that you trust. Find a store that you're willing to let go a little bit of your ego and just understand that they know more than you do and make sure that person earns your trust. And then once they do, initiate that process and go from there. But do research, make sure that's what you want to do, and then choose the store carefully as well.
That's the process, start to finish. That's how you go from, I want to get married to, will you marry me? It's not that hard.
No, and it should be
fun.
Should be fun.
We'll be right back with the final facet.
Jack Lewis Jewelers engagement rings start at just $499, with dozens of choices under $2,000. We're not secretly eager to steer you towards something bigger and more expensive. So whether your budget is $500 or $5,000, come have an engagement experience at Jack Lewis Jewelers.
Thanks for watching, everybody. The most important thing when you're considering the buying process of your engagement ring is to remember why you're doing it. You're in love. Never forget that. And never let the process trump the reason for why you're doing it. Remember that always. Make it loose. Make it fun. Don't overextend yourself. Make sure you do research on who it is that you're buying from. That person, that store, they'll do a great job of keeping you on track, keeping you on point, and reminding you of what it is that you're buying, why you're buying it. And they'll be there for a long time to take care of you afterwards. That's what we do at Jack Lewis Jewelers. And you'll find fine independent retail jewelry stores all around the country that have the same philosophy of us as us. So congratulations, you're in love. Go buy an engagement ring and enjoy it.
Hey, thanks for listening to us talk you through the whole process of how to buy an engagement ring. If this episode generated any thoughts or questions, reach out. Search for Jack Lewis Jewelers on your favorite social media platform and message us there. On the next episode of the CarterCast, we'll welcome our first guest. Another real human will squeeze in between Carter and I at the big table. And that guest will be none other than Legitimacy herself, Jack Lewis Jewelers VP and co-owner Missy Ranney, for a show-and-tell episode on designer engagement rings. It will be the best episode we've ever done because it's the episode where Carter and I talk the least. For John Carter, I'm Josh, and this is The CarterCast, a production of Joshua19 on behalf of Jack Lewis Jewelers in Bloomington, Illinois, and online at jacklewisjewelers.com.